Hola, soy Paola Marizán, and this is ¿Qué pasa Midwest?
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 Telling the stories of Latinos from the homeland to the heartland.
Hola, I'm Maria Thomas, and for this episode of ¿Qué pasa Midwest, I'm actually going to be talking to Paola about her experience with domestic violence. But first, can you remind people where you're from?
Hola a todos, gracias por escuchar. I am from the Dominican Republic, but I was raised in Puerto Rico. I guess I should always say that.
So, the situation that you were in, your mom was with this guy. She was married to him, actually. And he was abusive. Was he abusive to you or just to your mom?
Just to my mom. I was 3 years old when I met him. We lived in the Dominican Republic. And they met because they were doing some mission work together, you know, the La Iglesia from church. So that was one of the things, you know, that kind of brought them together, was just being like in the same space and trying to achieve the same goal.
So can you just kind of take us on the story of where you were, what happened, and where that led you to?
I was in the Dominican Republic. I was three. My mom met this person, and, you know, they got married after a while. And it just, everything was good. Nothing really had happened up to that point. But this person also used drugs occasionally, and that became something more, like, he just started doing it more often. And after a little bit, we moved to Puerto Rico, and we lived with him. And, you know, that's when it really started. It started to get really bad. He would beat my mom in front of me. And I remember this one time, and my mom made a soup, and it wasn't the soup that he wanted. And he literally put a knife to her neck.
Oh, my God.
And I was in the same room, and I just kept yelling, like, no, please don't do it. And I think I was, like, five or six. So there's this little bits of things that I remember because I was so young. But this went on until I was 8 years old.
Wow. So how did you react to this? Like, did you tell anyone at school or anyone in your family?
No, I was really scared. I was really scared. At first, I really didn't understand what was going on because I was so young. But then I started realizing, like, this is not okay, you know?
Right.
But coming from a culture where there's, like, so much machismo, maybe this is something that obviously is, like, in every culture. But just growing up Latino, you see, like, a little bit more of, oh, you shouldn't talk, or you shouldn't be opinionated about this, or you shouldn't dress like that, or you shouldn't go out after this time because you are a female. And that's something that's really prevalent in the Dominican Republic. Even up to these days, there are some people who think, you know, like, you should act a certain way because you're a woman. So that machismo mentality is still a thing. And it was definitely a thing back in the 90s. So, you know, just he was the man of the house. So I didn't, you know, I didn't really want to disrespect that. And I was so scared. I was so scared of him. So, yeah, I really didn't tell anybody. So it was just like a constant fear, you know, it was like a constant, I don't know what's going to happen next. I hate it going to sleep. I hate it being in my house.
Do you know if your mom reported it to anyone or talked to her family about it?
Yeah, my uncles and my aunts definitely knew what was going on. I remember one time we were staying with my grandma because we had kind of like just run away from his house. And my uncles were kind of standing in the door making sure he wasn't coming. But yeah, you know, they knew. They just didn't want to, I guess, come into the relationship. I don't know. This person was very wealthy. So I feel like maybe that contributed to a lot of people turning their heads, you know, and looking in the other direction, because my mom was, like, you know, quote unquote well off. So it was a lot of the same things, I guess, you see. I know other people have gone through some of this stuff, you know, when you have somebody who's wealthy and nobody really wants to mess with that person.
Yeah. You said they met in a church group. Do you know what the attitude was like in the church? Did anyone ever actually speak out and say anything?
I can remember people offering her help. One of the times that we actually flee the country, we were in Puerto Rico, and I was maybe like 7 or 8. And the pastor of a church knew what was going on. And my mom went and got me from school. I just had my backpack and my uniform on. And we drove from there to the airport. And we left everything behind.
Wow. And that's when you moved to New York?
Yeah. That's when we moved to New York. And then my stepdad actually found us. And then we went back to Puerto Rico with him.
Wow.
And growing up, that's what she has seen as well. Like, her parents were in a similar situation where her dad beat her mom. Mm. So, yeah, it was kind of like a learned behavior, kind of a little bit, even though it's not an excuse at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was angry for a really long time with her, you know, for a really long time. I was really angry, especially when I was a teenager. Because I didn't understand. I was like, oh, I would have just walked away.
Mm-hmm.
But there was so many things, you know. There's so many things on why people stay. I think my mom stayed because, you know, first she wanted a better future for me.
Right.
So she saw that as like an opportunity to obtain her citizenship and my citizenship. And then also, you know, she really fell in love with this person.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, sometimes when you're in love, like, you don't see certain things. So, yeah, I think she stayed for those two things, basically.
Right.
It happened a long, long time ago. But I think, you know, it takes just, like, a toll on your mental health. Like, there are some things that you can't forget. I definitely forgave for my own health.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to my mom after that. And she said sorry so many times. You know, she's like, I should have never put you in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of, you know, I understand where she comes from. It was a different time. Things were done differently. And I really can't judge her.
Did your mom and your stepdad ever talk after she was
gone
for good?
Yeah, totally. You know, for the sake of my sister, you know, they had joint custody of her whenever they divorced. Yeah, he doesn't do any of those things anymore. So, you know, after everything was done, they decided to just have, like, a cordial relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this has been more than 15 years ago. So, really, there's not a lot you can do about the past, you know. Definitely what you can do about the future. My mom decided to get out of that relationship, and she decided to change her life. And she decided that, you know, her daughters were not going to be in that environment. So I think that that's how she saw it. She's a very strong woman today. She's very independent. She's my role model. I think, you know, that after all of it, it was a learning experience, you know. And like I said, they talk. So, yeah, they talk just for, like, my sister's sake, basically.
Yeah. What would you say now, looking back, to parents who are in a domestic violence situation but aren't leaving because of their children?
You know, sometimes we think we're doing something good for someone, but we really need to look at the bigger picture. You are not doing somebody a service when they are in an abusive environment all the time. It's more common to see parents kind of argue, and that's, you know, people argue, and that's going to happen. But when it becomes physical and it becomes very abusive, mentally abusive, emotionally abusive, to the point where you're not happy, I think that's when you need to really reevaluate. Because if it's hurting you, it's hurting your children more. They don't understand maybe what's going on, you know, and then you're actually teaching them that that's okay. And it's not. So you're passing down to the next generation. And if you don't want your daughter to be in an abusive relationship or be an abuser, or your son, then I think you should definitely, you know, talk to someone who you trust and try to move on, you know, talk to the authorities. I know nowadays it's a little bit harder for undocumented women and men who are in those situations to come forward. But no tengas miedo. No tengas miedo, habla con alguien con quien puedas confiar, porque nunca sabes, you know, you never know. You definitely will get the help that you need if you talk to the right people. We see a lot of women and men today not get out of those situations because they're afraid that they're going to be deported. It's a sad situation, but it's happening. And we just want to encourage everybody to not stay, you know, in those situations where you don't feel like you're being appreciated and you're happy and you're just being abused.
Mm-hmm. Take care of yourself, take care of your kids, and be safe, and don't stand for people hurting you. One thing that I know keeps people, even if the relationship is abusive, you're worried about finances. You might not, you know, have the financial means to go off on your own. So what we're going to do is share on our website, kpasapodcast.com, different resources that you can go to. And if you feel like you're in a position to do so, you can share your story or your advice or who helped you, or, you know, whether it be a resource or an organization or whatever, on social media. Just share your story, because you never know, it might help somebody else get out of a situation they really shouldn't be in.
Gracias por escuchar. Soy Paola Marizan, and this is ¿Qué pasa, Midwest?